Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Allahi Barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to Al-Islam-based conversations. We'd like to welcome you. For those of you who are non-Muslims, we're just finished our holy month of Ramadan, and it's the month of fasting, similar to Lent that goes on with in the Christian world, and other people fast also. But ours is 30 days, and it ended in with a celebration that acknowledges that we are closer in touch with our nature. We are managing ourselves in a much more successful and much more capability. Our capabilities are online to a degree, and we've gotten this ability from Scripture. And that's probably really the best way to say it, Scripture, Revelation, if we're going to use English. Excuse me, let me clarify that. If we're going to use English, that's the best way to say it. I don't want to talk too much about Ramadan. I just want to highlight a couple of features with it. But let me first acknowledge the promise that I make with this program and what I try to share with the content I try to share, that it hopefully will not waste your time, and nor will it insult your intelligence. Promise, but I think that bigness of promise will allow me to perform in an excellent way. It will allow me to be under a consciousness that says, you know, am I doing it? Have I wasted your time? I mean, and you're going to be the judge of that. And it's not to impress you with what I know and how much I know. No, that's not. It's simply to whet your appetite, get you thinking about your thinking, and to see whether or not you've been using too much emotion or didn't have enough knowledge, or the knowledge didn't get move along the lines to where it becomes wisdom. The application is maybe weak, or one of those things that I just mentioned. And so that's what we don't want to happen. And more important, that's what the Creator God, mercy and his wisdom, doesn't want to happen. He doesn't want the person who say they believe in him to be at a disadvantage. And we will be at a disadvantage when someone has more knowledge about this thing called life than we do, and they can manipulate it in a way to make us believe things that just aren't true. I'm talking about from rhetoric to actual, the reality that we profess, we hold on to, we claim as tradition. It's not that. It's a concoction of feel-good message, make-believe, and lies that are told to us in the name of God and on God, and they've been around so long, we've come to believe that that's the truth, and nothing could be further from the truth. And it comes a time when God divinely intervenes. No, probably not a better way to say it. There's, you know, I'm sure I'm not doing a disservice to it. But it comes a time when God tells us and those who are telling the lie that's going to end one day, and you're going to be held responsible, and you're going to be known, and then you're going to be shown to be the one who is the culprit, who took it upon himself to believe something about himself in a superior way, and was capable of diabolical things, devilish things, to disrupt this thing called life so that the human being would be led astray. I mean, that's serious business when you really understand it, that the life that we've had that is intended for us, and we're going to talk about intentions, some entity, and we say Satan, Shaitan, you know, takes it upon themselves, and we say that this entity is real. The strategy that the Shaitan, the devil, uses is real, and it can be explained to a certain degree. I'm not going to take up time to do that because this is not what the program is about. The program is about taking back our lives, taking back control of our lives. First thing has to happen is that you have to realize that it is out of control. And some of the things that we do that can appear to be good is contributing to the problem more than we can even imagine. But we've heard it so long and people have benefited so long from it, and we can benefit from it, we take it hook, line, and sinker. And as a result, we're easily led astray. And some of the things that are said that appear to be truthful wouldn't be so truthful, but we're easily lied to, you know, easily lied on, and he easily tells lies about himself that are not true to give himself the image of being this all-powerful being and equal to God. And he knows, and God knows, and we know once we know what God wants us to know, that it, and he says it in Scripture, in the Bible. He says, he has no power but what you give him. That's to Satan. He don't have any power. He's not no powerful devil with horns and a pitchfork and a little red man that can just disrupt your life by getting you to do wrong. No, he tempts us with the wrong, and then he catches us at times when we're weak. And we succumb to the suggestion, and we don't wake up to it and realize that that's what we've done. It could be years. And by the time you get that mindset and that spirit, you don't have a mindset and a spirit sometimes to even try to correct it. You just live with it, settle on it. Yeah, you know, it's like back in the day before I did it, or when it hadn't been very long, maybe I could change it, but I just don't have the energy and desire. And you let it be. Not realizing, we don't realize what we jeopardize. If you really follow Scripture and you really believe in the Word of God, which is Scripture, and you take it to heart, and you realize that if you don't have purified heart and soul, you won't hear it the way you should hear it, and a lot of the things that we're talking about that are happening will continue to happen because you don't have the ability to keep it from happening. But once you wake up, once we wake up and we realize that that's what's being done and we take charge of our affairs, which I'm suggesting tonight, that is the beginning of the end and a renewal begins to take its place. And you and I can't even imagine how good life will be when you're in the driver's seat and you have control of your affairs and you are taking charge of your affairs and you're taking back your affairs from this mistake that you made by giving them away in the beginning. And realize that God is there waiting for you to repent and to turn your life, put our life back in his hands via his word, his will, and his way, and with the wisdom that will allow us to do the work that it takes to get it back. Because that's what it takes. It's work. It's work. There's no better way to say that either. I mean, there's no sense to let you think it's going to be easy. It's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. And that's the real challenge when we run against it, when we face it, we realize, wow, all these years I've been tricked. So I got years of work to do, actually generational time to do. I mean, some of it's just not going to get done in our lifetime, and that's just a fact. But that becomes the question. If you realize it, like I said before, how long it's been and what a insurmountable looking job it looks like, and you say we're only going to get one person at a time, you know, and wow, it'll be forever. Well, think about this. With God, there is no such thing as time. It's not, it doesn't play a role like it does in our life. You know, like today is gone forever. We'll never get that time back again. What we did or didn't do, it's just not gone. I don't mean we may not be able to do it. We still can do it. But not this Monday, it didn't happen. Maybe next Monday or the Monday after that. But this Monday is gone. Whatever we didn't get done, it's not going to happen today. It may happen tomorrow, but not today. And you can't go back and get it. You can't go back and revisit it. You can go back and revisit the memory, but not the actual day. It's almost 6, a little after 6. The next time we see 6 again, it'll be in the morning. 6 o'clock, 6:11 in the morning, a.m. 6:11 p.m. won't come back again, but when it does come back, it's another day. It's not the same day. So you get my point. You get my gist. That's the reality of how things work. It's already established. There's not options or open to change. Can change is ourselves, our attitude, our approach, our usage of time. But we can't change time. So the goal shouldn't be so much to control time as it is to control yourself. Doesn't that make sense? I can't take the watch and turn it back and it'll be 6:12. I mean, 5:12 or 4:12 or 3:12. But I can commit to the fact that tomorrow at 3:12, I'm going to be doing X, Y, Z. Because I promised myself, or I thought I was going to be able to do it today, but I fell a little short. And I'm saying it that way because it's not the end of the world. With the understanding that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, so our world may end, but it's not, the world's not going to end. The opportunity to correct our wrongs, the opportunity to repent, reset, redirect is there. It's just not on that day. And it may be a couple of days that we can before we can manage it, before we can make it happen. Before we can get our life in order to where we can be mindful of time and how we use it and how we spend it and what we spend it on and what are our goals and dreams and aspirations that we're trying to accomplish. And the way to do it is one step at a time. But if you're going in the wrong direction, if you're not making those steps, or if you're not making those steps with the fullness of your belief, it's not going to happen. It's just like treading in water. You're doing something, you're saying something, but what you're doing and saying is not the same thing. They're not adding up. So the energy that's needed to exact the change that you're looking for isn't being put forth, so it's not going to happen. That's just a fact. And anyone that tells you contrary to that, they're just lying. They want to get you to believe in something that's not true, which makes it a lie, but also it makes us crazy to take it on like it's going to really happen. It's an insane approach to do something. And it's so far removed from how it's done that it's never going to happen, but we keep pursuing it like it is going to happen. We keep believing like it is going to happen. We keep telling ourselves we would just be a little more patient. We keep trying to buy some time to do something incorrectly that's not going to happen the way we're doing it because it's not correct. I'm talking about a right and proper way, a correct way. Now, I'm not talking morally now. And then you go back to, is it God's will that it happen? Or when it happens, it's God's will. And we have other little things, mashallah, subhanallah, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, all that's there. And it said, when it's appropriate to be said, and it acknowledges that in the end of the time or end of the situation, it only happens by God's will. We can say anything we want to. We can believe anything we want to. God is the final determination. And that's a good thing. Putting your faith and trust in something that honors their faith in it, in your trust. And you're asking with the kind of help to bring it about, the kind of dua or prayer we make to bring it about. And we're asking for God's help. And we're making ourselves available. If God, if you do this, I'll do that. And it's not so much a bargain. It's not so much a deal. It's simply a part of your prayer to ensure that God will see that you're serious. And you also realize that you can't do this alone. It's going to take God's help. So you include it in your prayer or in your dua so as to acknowledge that God may be with you in that effort, that he may be able to help you bring about something that you want to bring about. That it goes on, talked about, but not really acknowledged properly, not really given their just due. God is real. God establishes the reality that we have come to know, and dispels or debunks the lie that the statement that's not true, or the belief that's not true. Many people and a lot of people want to believe something, but it's just not true, and it's not going to happen. And you're wasting the precious time. And there's a lot of people doing that because they believe in something that's not true. They're calling on God to help them with something that's just not, it's not something that he involves himself with, that he blesses his effort to go toward that effort. And it doesn't matter what we say or do because of the nature of what we're requesting or asking for, it's just not going to happen. And that's a reality we have to accept, that God is good and he only does good. Deactivates a lot of our hopes and aspirations for certain things, as it should. That's that reality that we talked about earlier. It's alive and well, and it's there to give and to take away the giving. And God tells us and he shows us that we are entrusted with certain things, that we're not responsible for the outcome. God is the requiring force. And there's even a greater distraction when we have to realize that maybe what we pray for and what we ask for is just not going to happen. Maybe in our lifetime or maybe at all. And it's a reality that we have to accept. And it shouldn't make us crazy or make us angry or make us think that there's no God, you know. Because if he is a God and he really knows that I really wanted that and he really didn't allow me to get that, or it's taken forever to get it, you know. That's not the good attitude. The better attitude is that, okay, I'm being patient. I'm doing what I think I understand you to want me to do. And I don't have these mixed feelings or feelings that I'm upset about not getting it, and I'm upset with you for not letting me get it or not helping me get it. No. We don't go to God and his word with that kind of attitude. It's not a good thing. It's not the right thing to do. And it's that kind of conversation that you have to have with yourself when you come to grips with reality and realize, hey, it may not be going to happen now or today or at all. And we begin to realize why it is that it's said that of God that he knows a thing and he does a thing. But he's come to put these things aside in hopes and prayers that we'll get back to him and stay committed and stay in tune and in touch with doing the thing that will gain recognition for him and gain results and recognition for us. So, how does that work? That's a good question. And that's where patience comes in, a person's patience comes into play. These things that we want to do and the things that we want in our lives, and we want to realize in our lifetime, it takes time and it takes patience. And it takes us asking ourselves, is this a worthy effort, or is this something that's really going to be life-changing, or is it just something I want to do because I want to do it, and I really haven't given it the thought that I should give it, and I really haven't opened my mind and heart to the kind of prayers that I should be seeing to help me help myself to do this thing that I'm calling a good thing and a beneficial thing. But nothing is a possibility that nothing could be further from the truth. Because religion is taking a real blow here lately. And a lot of what we see in people and in the effort is not religious. It's some kind of concoction or some kind of dreaming and dying says or whatever. So let's start again and look at a couple of things that we mentioned earlier. And one of those is race and color consciousness that's impeding the growth of the person who's perpetuating it and also the people who are under the spell of it. And they're not achieving on the level that they could or they should because they've been told something about their level of achievement, and it's just not true. If we will, then it will happen. It may not happen when we want it to happen. It may not happen how we want it to happen. It may not happen when we want it to happen. But it will happen. Inshallah, if it's God's will, see. So we acknowledge it that we just can't speak it into existence or will it into existence. With God's help, we can do things that are miraculous because we're using God's power that we have. About that, but we know that things can be, like we said before, can be corrected, and we know that our faith in God is what will help us to correct it. Now, that's based on a belief that says, you know, there's atheists, agnostics, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in a life after this life, and they're serious. because I believe, and I associate with people who believe that there is a life after this, and that a lot of things that we don't understand in this life, we'll come to understand it better or clearer in the next life. That's one of the promises of the next life. Our prayers that we thought maybe didn't get answered, actually they are or have been answered. And it simply wasn't granted. But it doesn't change God's status. Just because our wish or our request wasn't granted, it doesn't mean that it's not a God. That's how we should know our God, our Lord, our Savior, you know, as to his power. And that when we say his, we're not talking about a male or a man. We're not talking about any entity that has any physical composition that you can see and touch and feel and, you know, question and get replies and all that. No. It's not the case. And if we can accept that and begin to conform to that, then we'll see some success in our lives, some lasting success too. Doubt from coming into our lives and establishing itself and pushing out faith and pushing out a time frame that you're going to do this thing, and on and on and on. And that's a thing that we have to be on the lookout for, you know, things happening in a timely way and in a way that suggests that, you know, God hasn't just put us on hold and it's you know, he's got us waiting and we don't know, you know, when it's coming or if it's coming, and we're just waiting there patiently and maybe blindly. You know, God makes it known what he does and how he does. And he makes it known that he is in accord with someone who is serving him or serving the need that's in the society, and they get rewards. And one of those things that we get rewarded with is our prayer gets answered. We just have to have patience sometimes. And it's not that maybe God is so busy. I don't think that that's the case. That he's too busy to answer our prayers. I think it's more on line with to see our intentions and see how serious we really are and whether or not we can wait or let time run its course and produce this entity or whatever it is brings to the forefront, and we then get in, decide whether we're going to read it or what we're going to do with it, throw it in trash or whatever. And part of this is on us to know, like the singer said, know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk away. That's a must. You know, you can get too far involved in something and you get so involved in it and it's come to a point of diminishing returns and your next move should be to respectfully decline or respectfully remove your presence or respectfully request your funds back, because it sounded like a good idea at the time, but the more it was given thought and the more we were putting our effort in, not income, but money and affairs with it, and we were definitely misleading ourselves. And it's good. It's a good idea to educate ourselves into what's going on. You know, so I know, as well as the person knows, exactly what we're up against or what's happening. And it may be the case that we need to option out or politely excuse ourselves and tell them, no, we've changed our mind. And we thought it was this or we thought it was that, and we thought it was going to be delivered by this time, and it's not happening that way. Think everything about So take a look at what else the scripture has to say about interpretations and translations, and how almost every language, I would say every language, loses something in the translation or in the interpretation. So what does that mean? That means the fullness of what's being said may not be heard because it's coming from a divine source, and it just takes time to ingest it and process it and begin to say, oh, that's what it's saying. And sometimes we get it wrong. We think it's saying something that it's not saying, mainly because it's a symbol, or it's metaphysical, or it's not an entity that we can grasp with our mind as easily as we think we can or thought we could. And, you know, and we have to study it, and we have to study the comparison that's being made, and what the comparison is saying, and say it in words that are manageable and that are maybe not just done, and we don't have any way to check person failing in harm's way because of something we did, and there's DNA and there's fingerprints and there's proof that this took place. And for a surety, if there's charges or some kind of lawyer is involved, we need to act accordingly. Because people are using their resources and their knowledge, and like I said before, they're doing things that are not right, and they're seeking to get some kind of benefit that's not done properly. It's some type of scam, some kind of way to train somebody, or actually, like I said, trick somebody into believing that God is saying this, and you need to hear what, you know, and understand what God wants you to do or not do. And that particular statement is true. God has something that he wants us to do, and he wants us not to do. And he manifested in scripture and in other ways that this is the way I want you to go, or this is the way I don't want you to go. And it's just that simple. Doesn't need a lot of explanation to it. It just clearly suggests that the approval is there or the approval is not there. And that it's a good idea or it's not a good idea. And the best thing to do is to maybe get dressed accordingly so that you will have the protection that you need versus dress that's a little less than it should be. And it's not the And that's the way it is sometimes. You know, it's a certain amount of decision making that has to be done. And once we make that decision, we have to live by it and make ourselves accountable and responsible for whatever actions we take and whatever outcome takes place. That doesn't seem like much, but it's a whole lot. Especially in the eyesight of God, that you want to prove yourself right, that you just do anything, or you want to prove yourself right and innocent, because you are right and innocent. You don't, you ain't trying to harm anybody. there trying to exert some power that you may not really have earned or gotten, and it's time to dial it back a little bit and not joining more members on your fund in the name of whatever. A little bit of patience is what's the order of the day. And I can relate to that because I've had to be patient. I've had to wind back my clock because it wasn't time to do A, B, C, and D. And it may not be time for the whole rest of the month. But I have committed to the fact and promised the people with a rent, a sort of a licking of promise, as they say, but more of a... And so that's a good thing of sorts, you know, find out what is being said and act accordingly. People have long since scammed other people with these unbelievable requests or demands, and we couldn't even give them some time. And that's the way it is, you know. That's the way it is, you know. We have to honor certain things and abide by certain things. And that's a good thing. Because towing the line and walking the straight and narrow, it produces a certain kind of results. And people who have that ability and capability, and they've gotten this happen, and we need to get on top of it while it's still fresh and warm and make sure that we're doing the right thing by it. And that's the way it works, you know. You don't wait around on some things or certain things. You know, you act on them accordingly when certain accusations have been made and certain charges have been rendered, and the thing that we need and we're looking for, it's available now. And we're not having to try to put this big, long, you know, amount of money up and hold on to it and layaway type thing. We don't want that. We don't want that kind of business anymore. We don't want to do that kind of business. We don't want to do business with people who want us to do that kind of business. A lot of people have a means of paying. Some people PayPal, some people cash apps and all kind of things, and they have a way to So I don't know exactly what's going on, you know, but I know that we have a commitment, you know, to find out as much information as we can so that we can act responsibly. And that's a must, you know. And we take charge of our affairs, and with that kind of commitment and lack of tolerance for anything else but that, then we'll see some success. We'll see some progress. And we can see the kind of results that's gotten when we had that kind of attitude about it. And we find out for sure what's going on and what's not going on. And it allows us to make these judgment calls or to act in a responsible way and make sure that what we say is going to happen happens. And so you can see people are getting ready for something or getting ready to do something, and you can see the movement in the air and things are happening, and you know, this thing called life is moving, and it's moving on, and it moves on without us. And if we're not on top of our situation, that's what it will do. It'll pass us right by. And next thing you know, we'll be complaining about life and it's not fair and doesn't treat me right. And if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck. And all those things that are downers and they're filled with loss of hope and saying prayers and asking God for things that he's clearly made known that he's not up for that type of blessing or that type of talk or that kind of So we're going to shut it down a little early tonight. It's about 17 minutes left on the clock. But I wanted to mention something that I talked about earlier, and that is intentions. We find that people today can say things and not follow through. And not have a problem with that, or doing stuff like that, or leave people hanging. You know, you say you're going to do something, and or you promise to do something, and you don't follow through. That's a serious violation. And it speaks in our scripture that the matters are judged by intentions. You know? It has a kind of a life of its own, and you read the purification of the soul by Hanbali, three individuals, Hami Al-Ghazali, Hanbali, and Jaziya. Anyway, two I know for sure competent names, scholarly work. And he says here, the intentions of a person is not his utterance of the words, I intend to do so and so and so. It is an overflowing from the heart, which runs like conquest inspired by Allah. At times it is made easy, and other times difficult. Very important what I just said there, because that becomes the challenge or the problem. When you can't handle the fact that sometimes it's going to be easy, and sometimes it's going to be difficult. There's many people who complain and they want everything to come easy, when scripture tells us there's going to be toil and struggle. After difficulty comes ease. Those are clarifications of how it works. And then it tells you the rewards and benefits that you get when you go through the process. And you conquer the difficulty, or you overcome the obstacle, or you find a solution to the situation, or you gain control and you are able to get more competent, and you can proceed with competence, and you find your life coming together in a way like it has, and you're saying you find income coming in place, you find like we just mentioned, that be able to say and deliver on what you said. Be able to keep your promise without using inshallah as some kind of get out of jail card. Meaning you didn't have any intentions on doing it. You didn't have any intentions of showing up. So you cover yourself with inshallah. It is as God, you know, pleases, you know, as it pleases God, or as God pleases. And basically it's saying that God has the power. We don't have the power. Never have, never will. We can be wishful in our thinking that we could do so and so and so. We can pray about it and then begin to do things that move us closer and closer to it. And then that word comes up again, inshallah, you know, our efforts are rewarded with the success that we're asking Allah to help us with. But at the end of the day, it's no guarantee. It's all about Allah's will. And he gives us limited free will to bring about certain things, but not even of the magnitude that we're talking about. And a lot of things that we do bring about is because we have the resources that he's made available for us to bring it about. And that's very important. It should be very humbling to us to realize that we're at, I won't say the mercy, but we are receiving blessings from Allah, receiving inheritance from Allah. And when we see these things happening in our lives, we should feel very, thankful, because it didn't have to. And when it does happen, we should be thankful to Allah to favor us in that manner and praise him and obey him and follow him and serve him. Those words should be coming up in our vocabulary or in our behavior. You don't have to say it all the time. You have action speaks louder than words. That saying has been around a long time. A lot of people have said that. A lot of people have heard that. A lot of people have to tell other people that. You're giving lip service. See? My expectations are less than they were less today than they were yesterday. Why? Because the inconsistency on the part of the individual to not follow through with what they say they're going to do. And hide behind, inshallah. Get the beliefs up all great and all, oh, I'm going to do it. Hell or high water, I'm not going to complain about the storm I encounter. I'm going to bring in the ship, you know, and all that. That was back in the day when people really felt obligated and they would stay up to the wee hours of the night to do whatever it was, or they would come by when they said it was going to come, or if they weren't going to come and they're going to be a little bit late, they called you, they alerted you. It was respect on their part for you, and you gaining respect for them because they did what they say they're going to do. Very, very important, especially for people who've been through what we've been through, and specifically talking to African Americans. But in general, the human being goes through this, not maybe the same I'm talking about as far as slavery or something, but there are obstacles that are, we would think at the time, insurmountable. But with time, with guidance, with faith, and with some kind of plan, we're able to accomplish it. And we can use words like this. It was a miracle, or it's a miracle. I had no idea that this would ever happen in my lifetime, or whatever the statement is. It's unbelievable. But it shows you, first of all, the will of Allah. When he says, if he wills a thing, and he says, be, and it is. I mean, that just sounds so simple. The average person should be, I won't say impressed, but they should be, their consciousness should be like, whoa, I'm dealing with a divine entity here that could deliver on the goods at any time that they give it. Not spookily. This is not no snap your finger stuff. This is already there, set up to have that type of reaction and action on the part of it, the rain that we've been getting the last couple of days. The clouds come over, they're not white clouds, they're dark clouds, they're real black clouds. You know, that's the rain clouds. There's no doubt, you know. And it may turn into some kind of storm because the wind may come with it. It may be lightning, you know, it may be thunder and lightning, you know. But it's already there. If you live long enough, you know what that is. It's going to be a storm. Man, it's going to be a major like it. And then it might have hail with it. It might have golf ball sizes of hail. You see? The car and break the windows and do all that. Now, what is that? You know, is that some kind of whatever punishment or God's mad? No. We don't want to make the mistake of thinking God and comparing to the way man does things. He doesn't have a temper. He doesn't do things. He does things to get your attention, to get our attention, but it's not anger. It's not necessarily his wrath as it is his way of getting our attention so you can know that there's consequences. And you don't want to take this, you want to take this serious. Because it's almost like God saying, I don't waste my time and I don't let other people waste my time. So come correct or don't come at all. Now that sounds maybe a little urban to some people, but God is good and he only does good. And even though time is not an issue with him, it's not something that he allows you to do because, well, I ain't got enough to do and this is so and so and so and so. No. Value the time, but also value the source of time. Otherwise, there's no conversation. If he hasn't created it and made it available, and made it accessible to serve us. If you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, you and time have been served very well. And the opportunity of Allah allowing you to have that time to do that is a blessing within itself. How can you begin? What can really cut you right to the chase? How many people do you know that are no longer here anymore? Whatever they were going to do, if they didn't get it done, it's unfinished business. All of us face that. That if we don't make wise use of our time, there are some things that aren't going to get done. Who does that apply to? Everybody. That applies to everybody. And what does it say to us about God? He's a fair and just God. He doesn't have any people or believers or that you can get the special deal. You're for your eyes only, and you know you're the only one can get this deal. No. Equality reigns supreme. That's the level of playing field. We all have the same amount of time. We all get it from the same God. When we get it and we see it, that we definitely, God was the reason that it happened, we can fall in sajda or at least get a body language that suggests that you are unbelievably pleased that God will favor you so much to do A, B, C, and D. And let others know that you were favored and that God showed his love for you and you now in turn will show your love for him by being not a good servant, not just a better servant, but one of the best servants that he had, rivaling the Millah Ibrahim, the Khalil Allah, the friend of Allah. He's Allah, my little friend. This man, this individual, encapsulized the procedures to discover what he discovered. And now he made it available to the world that type of thinking will lead you and keep you from being led astray. It won't hold up to the litmus test. It's not what it appears to be. Okay? So that's the seventh level where Ibrahim identified what is God and what is not God. What is God's way and what is not God's way. What logic is sound enough to be considered logical, that this, therefore, that. Not one time, all time, every time. God's will is at work. That is going to happen the way God's been making it happen. for billions of years. It's not a matter of if it happens, when it happens. You don't have to worry about who you're going to think. You have to think. You might think him in a different way. Allahu Akbar, you might say, or Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, you might say. Whatever you're going to say, you're referencing, I'm acknowledging God in a way, I'm acknowledging the Creator in a way that's it's not even worthy. It's not more worthy of than but I'm the beneficiary. My consciousness has been elevated now, and I know how to declare, or I know how to define this as the blessing that it is, the miracle that it is, and that I am beyond gratitude to be chosen to be alive when it happened, and to be a part of it when it happened. Even though on the scale, it's just a small movement toward the destination, toward salvation. See? But at least I was made to, I was allowed to make it, allowed to get the blessings for making it, and was also a model for how it's done. See? What is humanly possible for one human being is humanly possible for all human beings. How do we know that? We see it happening all the time. But we see it also in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I'm a flesh and blood human being just like you. That's the statement. If what is humanly possible for me is humanly possible for you. Don't hear Rasulullah and say, oh, well, you know, that's the Rasulullah. That just got through telling you I'm a flesh and blood human being just like you. Brought you right on board that my accomplishments are going to be better than yours, and since that I'm consistent and I'm the prophet and I'm Rasulullah and all that. But you can internalize it in a way to where you can live the religion because you love the religion and you have enlightened yourself or influenced yourself with the religion. You have inspired yourself with that. And you now become Abdullah. That's news to write home about. That's not everybody's charge. Many will call, but few will chosen. Why did it happen? Why did it get called? They chose not to do what it took. For the length that it took, or for the magnitude that it took. It's more than prayer. It's more than zakat. It's more than the five pillars. It's taking those five pillars and looking for the social twin. It's not letting it stay social. I mean spiritual, let it become social. That we live, we practice what we preach, and we live the religion. After we've learned it, we live it. And we're a living example of what it means. And we get declared, we're no longer Muslims. We're mu'minin. We're demonstrating with Allah's hikmah on the level And with the light of enlightenment, it turns negatives into positives. It turns fools into wise men. That bring back the dead to join the living. Now physically, we can qualify. No need for that. But that spiritual death that we experience, where we're unconscious, we can't hear though we have ears, we can't see though we have eyes, we have hands but they're not doing the work that makes the world a better place. Those things now can get enhanced and elevated to the level to where your hands bring something in the world needed. The discovery, the cure, the book, the well, access to better gain wealth. It just goes on, health, on and on. A good, healthy, wholesome marriage. And not only you're getting in a mate, but you have become one as a mate. Beyond what you had even fathomed. And attractiveness is what got the mate, whether it was the male or was the female. Attractive better than love. Attractive better than she's sexy and she there, he got abs, he got no body parts. It's nothing with having the body parts. But if you do like this society does and lead with the body parts. 36, 24, 36. The body. What about the mind and the spirit? You got a six pack. Okay, cool. What about the mind and the spirit? What about his soul? What about her soul? Okay. What about those two things? How about considering that? How about looking at that? How about let that help you make your decision that you won't necessarily regret because you're in a vicious cycle and you don't know why? I keep getting the same results. I thought I did my homework this time. Yeah, but you started in the wrong place. He's looking at her, looking at him. Start with you. Make yourself attractive. You'll attract the mate that you're looking for. Or you'll know that this is not, they're not quite there. That's what the whole chaperone and the courtship is all about. But in order for the courtship to work and do what it's supposed to do, you have to do what we're supposed to do. If you're working on yourself to make yourself attractive and attract the kind of woman, you know your five love languages and you know your personality and who you're gonna really be compatible with. See, we go out and I'm a Muslim, she's a Muslim. Good. That's a start. But it might be the start of a fire. You know, our passion gets fiery, you know. We don't want fire, we want light. You don't cut the fire on in your room, you cut the light bulb, right? When that thought comes to your head, it looks like a light bulb. Your little forehead just lights up. Woo! I got the answer. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You get excited, heart beating fast. Yeah. See? That's what we want. But how do we get it? You get it by being your best self. Not until the honeymoon is over. No. This is me. I'm working on that. God ain't finished with me yet. I ain't through with that. I know that the biggest room in everybody's house is the room for improvement. I know that a lot of the times I believe I'm 100% right. With the strong possibility I could be 100% wrong. Those two check each other. So what happens? The flow keeps going, and also the humility is there. You know, we know what we know, but we don't know what we don't know, and there's a lot of people who know more than we know. At all times, someone knows more than we know. What does that do to you? What should it do? It should make you very humble. Should make us very humble. Question becomes, does it? Do our ego have us hiding from being like that or being seen like that? I remember when I was, this is not, you know, Catholicism, so this ain't no confession, but it did happen when I was single. And I had an accident. I dropped something. Well, I knocked it over and then it fell and then food all over the floor and everything. I didn't think about picking it up. I smiled to myself. I say, I'm so glad nobody won't here to see that. And let me look very stupid and very spill food all over your floor now. You got to clean it up because you're just rushing to get back to the TV to watch this little program. And now you got to fix your food all up and pick it up off the floor. But your response, my response was, and I had to laugh at myself because I was very happy that nobody saw this accident. By chance, they might label me with clumsy. You know, nobody wants to be called that. But when you have grown to the point to where haste makes waste, yes, I did it. It falls in the category of irresponsibility, yes, all of that. I leap before I look, all of that happened. So there's a classic accident. And yes, it's kind of childlike. Ain't nothing they're doing on the TV that should have been more important than me fixing and eating the dinner that I fixed. But my little man was just so anxious to get back to find out what happened, who shot John, and John, you know, do. Yes, he did, and all that stuff. Now, that ain't really what was on, but I'm just saying that's what happens. That's how it controls us, and we don't control it. And it also has an appetite. We like our genres. I like the shoot 'em ups. I like the crime memories. I'm not talking about me necessarily, but everybody got their genre. They just love the science fiction, the horror. You know, they love being scared. You know, I don't know. I don't get it. But the people who do that, they know. You know. And they advertise to you and they tell you, you think you scream on screen, wait until we bring you the other dude, and they have all those characters, you know, and Dracula and Wolfman and Frankenstein back in the day. And now they got, you know, all kind of people. Okay. Halloween keeps coming back over and over and all this stuff like that. But the point I'm trying to make is this. That appetite we have and we develop, and it comes and it's fed. And next thing you know, you're telling people, I'm a sports fan. I like basketball, but I don't care too much for baseball or whatever. And when those programs are on, you know, if we can't be there to see it, we tape it and play it later. And all I'm asking you, by asking myself first, how much time do we have to devote to this thing called time and life? So how much time do we have to become that much of a sports fan? Now, I'm not condemning being a sports fan. I watch three-peat and two three-peats of Chicago and all that. I daily ritual to say I want to be like Mike. I'm simply saying there has to be a limit and there has to be checks and balances. You're never going to be like Mike just watching Mike. Never going to be like Kobe just watching Kobe. Never going to be like anybody just watching them. You got to watch them to see what they're doing so you can mimic, you can emulate that to produce a version of that to yourself, or of yourself. And your contribution may not be as big. It may not impact the amount of people that this impacts, but it'll be a mini version. And the one or two or 100 people that you did help are much appreciative of your help. And Allah will give you a lot of credit for that help. Because once again, what is the qualification that you're receiving? Abdullah. Only Abdullah can consistently give of their time and their energy to help another person get up, stay up, and stand up, and stand for something that's worthwhile standing for. There's a lot of foolishness of people promoting and will hurt you about it when it ain't about nothing. The world is not a better place for that. People are doing stuff that is just unbelievably stupid. It's not ignorance, it's stupidity. They believe there's some get-rich-quick scheme, something that's going to happen with TikTok or fans only, or whatever, all the stuff that's out there now. And they lose their dignity, sell their soul for a few dead presidents. what's the key that should get us looking and thinking when it comes to time and money? Time, like I said before, is something you can't waste, so you can't recycle, so you can't waste it. Money, can't take it with you. And there's so many things that money won't buy or can't buy. Can't buy happiness. Can't buy love. Okay? It can't buy what you need to develop that talent, that your God-given talent, if you don't develop it yourself. You can't go out. You can go and pay a trainer to help you develop it. But you can't go to the store and buy what it takes to develop your God-given talent. And you take that, and next thing you know, your God-given talent comes online. No, that doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. It's like anything else. You learn, and then you earn. After you learn, you can earn what it takes, work-wise, money-wise, because you learned, and now you can get rewarded. See? So the process is right there. The formula is right there, spelled out. It just needs dedication. It needs someone that believes in something before they actually see it. But they also see it via their imaginations before they actually, it comes online or they develop it, or they start getting the benefits. The dreamers in the world, the Kobe's, the LeBron, I'm using sports figures because it goes right to the chase. The gymnasts, anybody, Jeff Bezos, the business people, whatever, Nike, all that. The movies that we love, all that they envision themselves being in front of the screen, and some envision themselves, after I get in front of the screen, I'm going to be behind the screen, behind the camera, excuse me, in front of the camera, behind the camera. Now, two questions here we're going to do, and then we may conclude here. But we want you to ask yourself, the 16 or the 15 or the 13, or the teenager in you was here present, or the teenage you was here present, would they be proud of you? Would they say, mission accomplished. You did everything you said you were going to do. You told me you was going to do. And I'm so proud. What would be the outcome of that conversation? And it's something to think about. When I first heard it, I was like, wow, that's pretty profound. I went up and thanked the person. I said, thank you. That was a wonderful question. That was a wonderful, tactful way to put it. Because I hadn't. I've been looking at the man in the mirror. I've been doing that, seeing that I lack him. But go back a little deeper in your life and ask yourself, that version of you, that teenage version of you that said this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to travel the world, I'm going to, all those promises you said. And once you got God in your life like he should be in your life, you know, all that changed. And sometimes people got spooky with it and they thought, well, God's all I need. God gonna bless me with this and God gonna bless me with that. We have to give God something to bless. God brings something from nothing. We don't get that luxury. If you do nothing, you get nothing. That's what God says. Maybe not like that. You reap what you sow. So make sure you sow well, that you may reap well. It's very simple. Simply to state. But if we're not aware, and we're not ready to put in the work, and if we're not ready to understand how to plant, when the season is, and how to harvest, and how to get the soil ready to plant again, and making sure you have fertile soil, Make sure you got fertile soil. What does that mean? Is it any accident that soil is S-O-I-L and soul is S-O-U-L? I don't think so. Okay. And does it get put in perspective when we can ask that question? How fertile is my soul? How open am I to what's being said? What I don't know, how much am I going to the sources to know? Am I able to humble myself to tell some people that I'm this age or I've been this long and I don't know A, B, C, and D, and I've seen the things like you do? So no matter my age, I want to know this. It's not when you know it, but that you know it. And I'm giving myself permission to get this knowledge that I didn't get earlier, and now that I got older, it's still beneficial. Because there's somebody out there that either my age or in my condition, and all they need to hear is a success story of one individual to make them believe in themselves enough to go and do it themselves too. Maybe even better. That comes upon the next thing I want you to ask yourself. At what point, no, it's three, I'm sorry, I mean, I just thought about the other one too, because that's very important for us as African Americans, just in general, but African Americans specifically. Have you made your will? Is it made out and updated? And we don't have to go over, but I will mention why that's important. If you go before you think you're going to go, then the stuff that you got to go to the people that it's going to supposed to go to, it's not going to go to them. So before you go, you need to go and get a will in place. And I want you to know I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you, because I don't have my will in place. But the more I say what I'm saying, the more I know that's what I got to be doing. It's a very important thing, but it's so easy to do. But at the same time, it's so easy not to do. And that's why I fall in that category. It's not confession, but hopefully somebody out there is hearing me and they're putting themselves in motion to make sure that this time, next week, next month, next year, that they're not faced with that. Okay? Now, let's go to the third one and the last one. This one came when I read Seven Habits of Effective People. And one of the things he said is begin with the end in mind, whatever you do. Begin but be thinking about how you want this to end. You want woulda, coulda, shoulda? You want to be playing catch up? You want to be a day late and dollar short? You want to be robbing Peter to pay Paul? And on and on and on. All the little, what do I call them? Expletives, that caricatures and all that, that says stuff about us as a people. Oh, the other famous one, you know. And this one I used to use. This was the brothers only one, you know. I didn't tell sisters this here, you know, but I would tell brothers this in a minute. You hail when you well, but you stay sick so much. That's it. Consistently inconsistent. Come on. Yes, consistently inconsistent. That's your claim to fame. That's, yeah, living legend. And that's what I'm saying. So I'm going to ask the people, what is the living legacy that you're leaving? What is the living legacy that you're leaving? What is the living legacy that you're leaving? If we haven't identified it, We can't leave it. We're not working on it. Like, it has to be worked on. I mean, seriously worked on. I mean, every day, all day, no days off, no plays off. Because here's something I saw, and I've been seeing stuff like this all the time, but it bothered me more. It's bothering me more. When I became a Muslim in the Nation of Islam, and I would go fishing and trying to get people to at least come to the temple and hear what we had to say. And then if they wanted to go back out there, you know, cool, or not be a part of this, cool. Or they wanted to think about it, whatever. Wanted to do a test run on it, whatever. I didn't matter. But what used to bother me was that the people who needed the most listened the least. And I didn't have no time and patience for them like I used to, because I thought I could save them. God makes Muslim. He tell you that already. You do your job by being a Muslim. And do da'wah. Do da'wah, okay? Be a living example. Lead by example. Know some things that you can tell them about the religion. You know, have education about what you're trying to share with the people. But we don't proselytize. We don't tell people they're going to hell. No compulsion in the religion. You have heard enough. Your consciousness has been raised enough for you to make a conscious decision, the decision of your lifetime, that you have heard, and you, we used to say submit, but it's more like a conform. You're going to conform. You're going to, you know, recognize that you were deformed. You're going to conform so you can be a better perform. You know, you want to perform better. This is the place that we can make that happen. With your help, with your permission, with your knowing a little bit about yourself, we can help you discover who you are and discover your God-given talents so you can go to work on your living legacy. Leaving a living legacy. They will remember you by this. They will acknowledge a big void left in the world, man, because so-and-so is not here. That was his claim to fame, her claim to fame. And they made it known, hey, be doing this till the wheels roll off. I want to make sure that I'm known for A, B, C, and D. And I don't have time to be fooling with people who waste my time. I want to play with my time when I'm serious about this. And I'm not Imam Muhammad. I don't know what you came to hear, but I know what I came to say. And nothing is here to try to offend anybody, to marginalize or put down anything people are doing. Everything I'm saying you shouldn't be doing, I did it and more. Am I proud? No. Death was one of the major turning points. There are going to be turning points in your life. You know, they just, it ain't going to be a lot of them. Maybe 5, 6, maybe not even that many. Maybe 4, like Hajj, you know, marriage, you know, seeing an African-American president, you know, seeing and being in the lifetime of Imam Muhammad and Master Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah. I mean, you go back that many years and go back and all of them are gone and used to hear. That's a turning point. That's a statement to you and I. I didn't even believe when somebody told me Imam Muhammad was there. I said, well, don't be playing with me. Like, and then the person reminded me, would I be joking with like something like that? I was like, whoa, that's how much I was out of touch with reality. He can't go. But he goes when he's finished. That means you should go back and finish listening to what he said that really resonated with you. Really just like, I mean, when I hear that, it's like he's talking to me. That's hitting me up, on, right, left, up, down. Man, that's my cup of tea. This is what I'm doing here now. This is me. This is me. I love it. I remember when I came in, they sent me a little letter, got my little ex. And I don't know. It just popped in my head. I couldn't wait. So I got to get up on the rostrum. And that's when they let you testify. What has Islam done for you? And the first one I ever did, I remember like it was yesterday. I had just began to read my Quran a little bit. And it said two things that caught my eye was the ant and the fly. But the fly takes off backwards. That was a revelation. I was like, whoa, okay. And you don't want him around the food because he has digestive juices that once he gets on it and does his little thing with his little whatever he's doing, he breaks it down and he doesn't eat it. It's a done deal. Milliseconds, it's over. His digestive juices so powerful, it's whatever. So that's why he talk about it. So anyway, then it allows him to consume stuff, to woo-woo, some of the good, some of the bad, woo-woo. So I read that in a lot of things that I'm not going to share about it, but it was very beneficial. But the ant, that can, especially those smaller ants that pick up something three times the size that they are with their jaws and just take it on in there and put it to use and be so deep in the ground that it could flood and they come out next time, same level because they're down so deep. But the other thing I saw that the ant amazed me with was their means of travel. They got from place to place by crawling. I was like, okay. So that's how we started, on all fours. And then we got upright and we began to walk. I think there's a sign that something here was very significant. Let me look at this again. So I went back to the ant. And I went back to the human being, looked at all fours, and get up and rang and motor channel. Blah, blah. Then I said, that's it. And this was my little lecture. Why God makes us walk first. Crawl first, really, but walk when we get in the public. Because when you're walking, unlike when you're flying or unlike when you're driving, you just see things that you didn't see when you, well, driving or flying or whatever. Some mode other than the slow, 1 foot in front of the other. 1,000 miles, you got a 1 mile or whatever, and you're 999 more to go to get to the 1,000. But whether you running or walking, it's one step at a time. I said, my, oh my. You know, and then to be able to take that statement and share it with somebody else, and then they invent whatever, put the mode of transportation bit or whatever they see in it and they go with it and whatnot, because it's phenomenal. That in God's wisdom, he plans us in a way to say, okay, just so you won't miss anything, I'm going to make your first mode of transportation crawling. I'm taking 9 months to get here, first of all. Now, when you get here, you're not going to jump up and walk and just do stuff and just, you can't even talk. Talk, walk, none. You can't even be intelligent. You're crying and can't even know what you're crying for. They get mad at you. One of the bank, she was mad. Her 9-year-old, she said he was smart. He's a woman, girl. She was upset with her. She started crying. Then after she got what she wanted, she laughed. I said, no, you think that was treachery on her part? Are you mad? Yeah, she said her daughter just gets her way and does things and cries and does. I said, you think she's scheming at 9 months, huh? And I said, well, you don't stand a chance, man. She's scheming in 9 months. What you going to do when she's 19? If you think she's scheming now, wait till she get 19. But anyway, so I knew that. I knew something told me that I got joy, delight, and just sheer pleasure from being able to take this religion or take the signs that are in the heavens and the earth and share them with your fellow man. That turned to writing poetry, to take a blank piece of paper and turn it into something that says something and speaks to someone's soul or speaks to someone's head or speaks to someone's heart. That's cream de la cream for me. I love to get that piece of paper. Unlike art or unlike anything else, I fill it up with words. that have meaning and that have direction and have definition. And as complex as it can be, I heard people say, oh, man, it's too complicated. No, 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 no. Simple little formulas are there. Nothing that could cause a problem for a human being Allah hasn't considered. And right brain, left brain is the consideration. Whenever it comes to that side of the brain that does what it does, then you can do what it does. And then you add imagination and curiosity? Gee, it's over. You're equipped to do all the things that you couldn't do because you can't see them before you do them. I don't know what the piece of paper we're going to end up like. But I know if I'll add value to the world, if I'll put something on there that triggers an appetite and a way of thinking that they didn't have before. Just because the words suggest, you know what? Then what if? And then the ball starts rolling. And then the world gets blessed with Tesla. You know, a better whatever, the world. Outstanding cook salmon. I don't know, you know, but that's where it starts. What do they say? Necessity is the mother of all inventions. Wherever there's a need, that need is going to be fulfilled by a human being who's curious about that particular thing. Okay, well, why isn't there a cure? Why isn't there this? Why isn't that? What does it take? You start talking to people, and people start telling you, well, I got this far on it, or I did this here, or I see this about it, and next thing you know, you see what the other person didn't see, and you succeed. That was what Elon Musk said. Before he even started trying to invent electrical car, he looked at DeLorean to see what he did that kept him from doing and finishing the job. He invented one, put the little wheels, like the little doors up, like he got on his hand. He said, but he lost it after a while. He said what made him lose it was cocaine, women, and whatever else, the success that he has achieved, the success of his lifetime. So even before he developed the plan for the car, how it was going to look, and he just changed tremendously, and he got him very wise. He sold the luxury ones too, so he can make room to sell the less luxurious ones. I got money now. I can make the ones that don't cost $50,000. But I can't do that and start out selling the 30-40. I got to get myself in a position to be able to fund this thing so that I can build a good $30,000-$40,000 by selling 50 or 60. Yeah, call it whatever you want to call it. But it's thinking something through all the way to the end. Begin with the end in mind. What caused him to fail? Woo, 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 woo. So that means I can't do that. Or I can't do a version of that. Or I'll never succeed. And I'm going to collaborate with the people who are trying to do what I'm trying to do. So what was that? What does it mean? People who are trying to do electrical car. I'm going to show them notes and I'm going to see their notes. Anybody who can do that, let's do it. Anybody who can't do it, no problem. Put our heads together. We both want the same thing. And though I don't believe in God, this is him talking, one of us will be blessed to get it and one won't. But when we get it, you're going to take somebody else's formula anyway and make it your own, and you're going to call it Microsoft instead of Apple. That's the way things are done. When you get to that level, to where you start thinking like that, you open doors, add value to the society that doesn't have that because they don't think like that. He's not your everyday guy. You stop being ordinary and you start becoming extraordinary because you do a little extra. You consider the possibility a little stronger.
And it just keeps leading you and leading you and leading you. And if you have enough purity of soul and dignity in your heart, you won't but do something that will cause problems. You add value to the society. And it's just a matter of deciding when your turn is coming and on what level you want to do it on. Local, community, family, local, national, global. What's your choice? But here's the concluding statement. And if you hear nothing else, I hope you hear this. Don't not do anything to make a contribution. I said it that way because I wanted. That's what it is. It's entanglements that keeps us from doing it. And then after so long a time, we just say the F word and we just don't even worry about it no more. If you came here and you realize you came with a purpose in mind, and you realize that your life was all right, you know, but it could have been better. When you just needed to take a little bit of time and love yourself a little bit more and realize that when you love yourself, Allah loves you. He don't use the word love like I'm using it, but he does. He said, enter you, my devotee, pleased and pleasing. See? You're pleased with your little self, and I'm pleased with you too, otherwise you wouldn't be coming in here. But the real pleasure is realizing that that's extended to everybody. Go to your mailbox. I bet you got you one in the mailbox there. I bet you got an invitation. I bet you've been overlooking all this time. And what am I saying with that symbolic statement? I'm saying give yourself a permission slip to go do the undoable, the unthinkable, the unexpected, what hasn't been done yet. Or just go and represent us as a people that didn't used to have a will, that didn't used to have a legacy, that didn't have an inheritance. You know, it used to be the joke one. How many of y'all know your grandfather's name and where they live? You don't know because they didn't leave you nothing. It's funny, but it ain't no joke. Too much of our life is like that. It's funny, but it ain't no joke. You know? When I began to realize that people were not only laughing at us, but they were stealing our stuff and claiming it as their own. The little fist bumping that Obama and Michelle did, it's somebody else, and that is be sticking and come over with their fist. I'd be like, what are you doing? Look at that fist out. Like, oh, you my fist bump. Okay, boo. It's out now. We might as well go on, you know, let the world have it. And other people are giving us a permission. We used to laugh at certain people when they dance. You've seen them on America's Bandstand, just jumping all around the room like a maniac, man. Goodness gracious. Look at them now. Everything, and then, you know, the Asians, sure. You want to see some moonwalking. So why? Why is this happening? Well, first of all, it's proven to us that there's nothing humanly possible to not humanly possible for the human being. Humanly possible for one is humanly possible for all of us. All you have to have is an interest. Wherever the interest flows, the intellect goes. Wherever the interest flows, the intellect goes. Wherever the interest goes, the intellect flows. These little nuggets, you capture them and then you put them to use. If not you, make sure your grandchildren are hearing it. Because that's the handwriting on the wall. We're not doing what James Brown said we used to do, talking loud and saying nothing. Saying nothing. See? Once you increase your competence, you increase your confidence. Once you increase your confidence, you proceed with confidence, cautious, proceed with caution, because you might mess it up. You might not succeed. You might not know as much as you think you know. The world had us thinking about OPM, other people's money. Whenever you get out there, make sure you're not using your money, you're using their money, and house money, and all other people's money. For me, that OPM is other people's mistakes. Don't make the mistake of what other people are doing and watch your success take off. Imam Muhammad was in Houston. He came back a little bit late. Apologized. Said the plane rose above the storm, or you could look down in the eye of the storm and it was calm. So what did he say? Once you rise above the situation, the obstacles don't stand in your way anymore. It didn't impede the progress of the plane because they got high enough to go above the storm. Your distractions, people who don't want you to succeed, and they dare to throw water on the fire of enthusiasm. Because misery, you know what it lacks. Misery lacks some company. People you used to hang out with, they come around. You move them now, man. Come over here, you know, whatever. Oh, well, they're going to call you and cuss you out and tell them what you know it is when I walk. So you have to get away from people like that. You have to be more selective of our friends, people who are in my environment. They say a good friend is a weak friend is more dangerous than an enemy. They're capable of getting close enough to do harm and to introduce weakness and doubt and complaints. Oh my God! If you get so good at complaining, you become and call a complainer. You know, we don't want to become that. It's all right to make a few observations every now and then of people, you know, not doing this, or maybe need to do this better. But when we constantly complain to the point that we are become a complainer, that's a travesty of our lives. We should know better. We should do better. And we should get around people who inspire us to do more. Inspiration, aspiration, desperation. Those two are the ones. That third one shouldn't happen. A lot of people are talking about it, and mental health is the mental health month. Mental health month, I think, is this month. How did we get that way? You know, how is it that we're losing it and don't know we're losing it? You know, that man that recently shot those people there, I think it was in Texas, who was their neighbor, because they leaned over the fence and asked him not to be out there shooting his gun because it was affecting children. He comes over there and shoots everybody, or shoots up the place, and then leaves. Still haven't found him. What? You didn't turn this into the Wild Wild West? And every time you pick up the paper, almost you see a shooting. People just go get their gun, and I ain't shot my gun, I don't shoot my gun, maybe shoot my gun, and, you know, maybe that man, I will shoot you. That's the world we live in. Now, what does that mean, though? We just going to focus on that? No. This is the best of times and the worst of times. At the same time we're talking about that, somebody's getting ready to do this, that, and the other. We just mentioned Elon Musk and Tesla. You see them out, Teslas, on the street now? And do you see the fact that him and Jeff Bezos both are trying to stimulate enough funds to do interplanetary travel? That's the real goal behind Amazon and Tesla. Started out with something that wasn't Tesla. I think PayPal or whatever it is. They sold it. I forgot what it was. And that made him a millionaire. Then he took his money, and he's always had three things working at once. And he took it to the next level, and that made him a billionaire. And he produced a Tesla, and that made him, at one point in time, the richest man on the planet. I think somebody beat him out. And then Jeff Bezos was up there with his, and he came back down, and they go back and forth and send each other notes and stuff like that. But that's just, whatever, that's playful, petty, whatever. The point I'm saying is that when you can go to whatever level you want to go to and succeed at that, and it's not about the money, like I said before, the wealth to take a car and design it, produce it, and sell it, and you introduce something that the world will remember you by. And it's a good thing. Transportation. And if you've ever driven one, I've been sitting next to one, and it's so quiet, and you can take out the deck, the computer deck, and just put in a new one, and you change the whole car. So it has phenomenal, you know, things that it can do and does and whatever, you know. And it's not attractive, but it's attractive, you know. It doesn't look luxurious, because how do you define luxury? What makes a thing luxurious or not? See, it's not aesthetic stuff, you know, just draping with whatever, you know, just uncontrollable amount of this, that, or the other, you know, like maybe eating pancakes with just syrupy. No, it's not that. It's you got a vehicle and you know it's really made well, it really drives well, and it fits your creature comforts. It's got this, it's got that, it's plush, it's that, it's cool, air conditioning work, you know, whatever the gallon, it just does that, and does whatever it said it's going to do, it delivers. That's what you're looking for in luxury. And yes, it has a price tag to buy, to insure and buy, and to repair. But if you're going to buy that car, make sure you can buy it with an affordable lifestyle. Don't get all in hock and in debt trying to fulfill a dream of owning a Tesla. It's not worth it. Our life is much worth more than that, than having to go to work. So off to work, I go. No. Don't be a slave to money or to material, to where you get into debt above and beyond, or over at your eye level. And if you are doing it, there are reasons. We're going to pick it up or start it again. We did financial literacy equals financial liberation. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world. Especially, I'm talking from experience. You know, I was using debt to get in. I was getting in debt to trying to get out of debt. Broke that cycle about 5 years ago and finally got debt free. I got some debt, but nothing like that. It's debt that I have. But I have my rainy day money. I have my conscientiousness to spend, but save. And not spend because I can, but spend on what I need. And no difference between needs and wants. And know at all times, you are supposed to control the money. The money's not supposed to control you. You say, oh, success destroyed. No, and success ain't never did anything but do what success does. When you can't handle success because you had so many daddy issues or whatever kind of issues you had before you used your God-given talent to make millions and millions of dollars and have millions and millions of fans and up on the world stage with 700,000 people in the auditorium, all that came to see you. And they've been out there for 2 hours shouting your name. God, it's dangerous. Because who and how big do you need to do to be able to handle that? Michael did it, but they talked about him. They say, oh, man, he was this, he was that, he's that. Michael, Kobe did it, but they got conversation. Man, you know, Kobe, you did that. When you find out what it takes to be able to be a millionaire, a billionaire, you're going to find out some things that you may not like about that person. Because you're not trying to win a popularity contest. In fact, you're not careful. You could care less what somebody thinks about you. because they are. They're gonna put a target on your back, and they're gonna shoot arrows, and they're gonna dance at your grave if you fail and you had dope problems or whatever kind of problems you had. They're gonna be there to eat your flesh alive. That's what this society does. It builds you up so it can tear you down. I don't know how many times you have a little trouble at the house and they see it and they notice it. They come out in the public, in the paparazzis and in the papers and in the books to eventually get a divorce. That would be a reason for me to stay married. I'm not going to let the people talk me into not being with this woman because they think or they said or this or whatever. And they did that to so many people. I saw it. Once you start having a little trouble with your marriage, don't let it get out because they're gonna sell. They're gonna use it to sell papers. Did you know so and so and so and so are on the rocks now? After 39 years or after 9 years, you know. And then you got people like Taylor Swift. She goes through them every 6 to 7 years. It's not compatible anymore. But if you ask me, that first one that really broke her heart, she's making all the others pay. Or she's saying, I'm never going to let them, they're never going to fall in love with anybody that deep, that hurt, still hurting. Still, I can sing. I can even sing songs that are therapeutic. But what I can't do is never, never let that happen again. I let my guard down. I loved him blindly. But never, never again. And yeah, there's a lot of fallacies in love, the way they want to love. Cloud nine. I love the ground you walk on. That's a little strong. Without you, there is no me. Oh, whoa. It's kind of strong talk. Shouldn't let anybody have that kind of control over you, but God. So you can expect problems if you're worshiping that person. And whatever they say, do, you don't ask when, you ask how high. See, so that's not good. So we got about 4 minutes. I just want to acknowledge your presence. I thank you for being a part of the program today. I want to acknowledge our future programs. I am working on this diligently, but maybe next month I'm going to have a complete list so I can announce when they come on, who they are, and what is it. I'm not even going to butcher or leave somebody out or say something incorrect, so I'm just going to say stay tuned. Stay in touch with your calendar on Blog Talk and, okay, 773. Get you here real quick, but yeah, I got 3 minutes, so let me plug in. But that's what I'm going to do, and so we'll have that available for you, and we'll let you know that there's more to this station than me, and there's a lot of information that you're going to miss if you miss some of these programs. So 773, state your name and where you're calling from, whether you have a question or a comment.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mira.
What's wrong?
I just want to say I always listen to you. Allah always bless you with so much to give us and to resonate and so informative, so insightful. So thank you very much.
Come in now. Great Muslim. Okay, so that's probably going to end it. I'm always humble when people talk like that. It's all the praise to Allah. I mean, I feel blessed. Everything that I've went through has been and you look back and see the same thing. It's not me, you know. You'll see you have been prepared to do whatever you're doing, and if you look long enough, deep enough, you'll see it. It's there. I was chosen. I chose to use my voice for foolishness, and you know, I was a bona fide, certified ladies' man, gift for gab, wise in the ways of the world, all that kind of stuff. But when I saw the movie, Alfie, after 8 times, I realized that there was a message for me. Wake up, young man, wake up. and realize that the only way you can beat that game, like he was trying to beat, and had him on the dock singing, "Alfie, what's it all about?" The answer to that question is that you cannot beat the game. And the only way you can beat the game is don't play the game. That's the only way you can beat it. Because every, just like you get new skin, every so often the game changes. You know, you hear this kind of language. You say pimps, politics, and preachers. They're all the same. You don't hear that anymore. Somebody's the whore. Somebody's the pimp. Somebody's the hammer. Somebody's the nail. It's all there. What are they talking? What are they talking about? In the world of men, that's the way it is. Somebody's gonna get screwed, and somebody doing the screwing. What does it mean? Satan is guaranteed. I got this house. I'm gonna create chaos. I got a system, and it's gonna mess you around. And if you play, you're gonna just like the lottery. You're gonna lose. Why you think they call it gambling? The best thing to do is don't play. And make sure you stay around people who don't play. So in case you get tempted to play, they won't be an influence to make you play. They may influence to help you not play. Because they give you the strength. And they'll tell you, hey, man, it ain't worth it. You don't want to get your money that way. You don't even want to let that fall into your lap because you'll be thinking that's the way you do it. And finally, your mother load came in. No. Let Allah bless you with wealth and show you how to develop a business or something that will provide you with that wealth. That's what you want. And then don't forget, when you get your wealth, philanthropy should kick in with some kind of organization that helps those that don't have as much as you have and establish it, just like you would do any other institution where it lives long after your life, still having people to help themselves. And that's what you do because you finally got in a position to do it. So let me conclude with that. Be a conscious person. Have a human consciousness and not a race or a color consciousness, because that is backwards and it just plays into the hands of the racially superior thinking people. They want to hear you talk about black and white and black and all that stuff and Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. Human consciousness, human lives matter. That's what Allah says. That's what the Creator says to us. We should take care of ourselves. We should love ourselves. And we should help those who can't help themselves right now. The haves and the have-nots should not be such a big gap between those. 5 or 10% of the world owns 95% of the wealth. Shouldn't be that way. And we can change it when we start thinking about how we can change it. If we can't change it, pass the formula on to the generation ahead of you so they can change it. But there's no excuse not to change it. Now that we know better, we have to do better. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This has been Imam Nazim Pasha. You have been listening to El Islam-based conversations. We hope to get bigger and better, bigger crowds and bigger people attending, and we want to get better at what we have to say so that the content has a context and it does what it does to get you in a position to be your best self. You know? It'll be working in your life, for your life, for the rest of your life.